Hello and welcome to the Pit Imps Podcast. I'm your host, brought to you by the Brainstorm Brewery. I'm your host, Angelo, and this is episode number 66, and I'm back this week with What Up, What Up.
What up, what up?
You really need to change that on Twitter, dude. I'm not going to leave. I have now jumped into the not going to leave you be about it. Yeah. So every week I'm going to do this. So just change it, please.
I'll get on it. You, Megan, everybody.
Yeah, but I was always the one who just kind of joked about it, but never really got on your shit about it.
Well, here's something funny. Megan actually changed it a couple days ago to What Up, What Up. Like, got on my phone and did it, and then it was there for like 5 seconds, and I changed it back.
You are, in fact, a dick. You know that? I can respect that, don't get me wrong, but you are, in fact, a dick. our guest this week from the posse is Mr. I Say The Nay, Mr. Justin. What's going on, Justin?
Hey, how's it going, Angelo, Ryan? Happy to be on.
Glad you're here, dude. That's what's up. Glad you're here. Yes, yeah, so our next member of the posse here in our ongoing series, we got a posse member, so we had to get you on. We had to squeeze you in. You've been a long-time guy and very active on the page, so we appreciate that.
Oh, I try to, man. You guys are the best. And the page has been just a haven for me the last couple of months. It's been done a lot of good things for me. So I'm happy to be back and paying a little bit forward.
Yeah, it's funny. You would not believe how many people that I used to talk to all the time on Twitter decided that they was going to join the page, and I don't talk to them on Twitter anymore.
Well, like,
they're just on
anymore,
the page. So. Well, it's not just you. There's a lot of people like that. It's just they're on the page now. They don't even bother conversing with me on Twitter, which makes me a sad panda. But, you know, hey, I still get to talk to them on the page, so that's great.
That's true.
Yeah. So, Detroit. Detroit.
Yay.
Oh, you could cut the excitement with a knife.
Yeah, I mean.
I'm ready for new decks.
5 mono blacks in the top 8.
Yeah. Lauren Nolan versus Eric Maj. Nolan wins 2-1. Jorge Lopez versus Mitch Coles. Jorge wins that 2-0. Ryan Gerhart versus Joshua Barr, and Gerhart wins 2-1. And then we have Simon Stahl versus Jake Krzyzewski. I know I butchered that. I'm sorry, dude. Simon Stahl wins 2-0. Simon Stahl 2-0 over Ryan Gerhart, and Lauren Nolan beats Jorge Lopez 2-0. Really, just because of his name, I wanted Jorge to win this. And Simon Stahl wins 2-0. Overall. So, Ryan, you was saying about a whole bunch of mono black and other stuff, or
yeah,
lack thereof.
Basically, I mean, hey, blue-white control made a comeback this week, and, you know, Simon took it down, just crushed the top 8 with blue-white control, so we didn't see a single blue-white control in last week's top 16, so, I mean, it looks like it's made a comeback. I don't really see anything different or unique here. This is the annoying Dirtle version with Elixir of Immortality, so he's got that going on. You know, Simon's that dude. I was happy to see Junk Midrange in third place.
Yes.
I'm going to go ahead and call it now. Junk will be the next tier 1 deck. Mana Confluence is going to help it a ton. I think it gets some interesting tools. There's some interesting lists floating around right now, including, you know, Reduke. There's, you know, BBD's Reanimators we talked about last week. I think Junk is something that's on the come up and needs to be on your radar. So, it's a deck I'm working on, and, I think it's a good place to be. So, it's not ironed out yet, but, you know, when this deck gets figured out, I think it's going to be pretty fucking, pretty nice, pretty spicy. So, yeah.
Another really nice thing about that Junk Midrange deck is a good core of it is all Pharaoh stuff. So it looks like it's going to be a shell that's actually going to be powerful going on for the next, you know, several months post-rotation even.
Yeah, I like it a lot right now. And I think, I don't know, I would have to test the Mono Black Devotion a bit myself to kind of get a feel for it, but it doesn't seem like that bad of a matchup for you. At least the Reanimator version. I don't know about this Junk Midrange in third place, but
Well, you have a Abrupt Decay, and that's good against Mono Black.
Yeah, for sure. That's for sure. Yeah, I mean, nothing too interesting. There is a Red-White Burn in ninth place.
Yar.
We got our Mono Blues, of course.
Yeah, first place was Blue-White. We had Mono Black in second, Junk Midrange third, Green-Red Monsters in fourth, Blue-White Devotion in fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth was all mono black. Yeah. And then it was like the usual suspects from that point forward as well. You know, junk monsters and everything. It's just meh.
Yeah.
What is their difference? I just have to look this up just to be crazy. Oh wait, no. No, there is no difference. Between that says junk, not junk, duh.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, this is the tail end of the standard format, so can't really expect to see a whole bunch of new stuff popping up at this point.
I don't, but doesn't mean that I wouldn't appreciate it.
Yeah, it'd be awesome, but I think you're asking for a little much there, Angelo.
Am I really? I mean, like, at least, like, the last couple seasons, we've had, like, this resurgence of, like, mono red during the last few weeks.
Which, and I called that last week because it was all over the place. I was like, mono red has gotta be a breakout to be on the lookout for just because of its results, like online that it was posting and shit. And yeah, it's nowhere, wasn't to be seen in Detroit.
Honestly, I'd be willing to bet that these several mono blue and blue white devotion decks that are popping around in the front, in the top 16 here, are a good reason why you don't see those mono red decks higher in the standings. Because, you know, red deck wins and red-white burn becomes prevalent, something like mono-blue steps in, which just houses those decks.
Yeah.
Yeah, the mono-colored decks are the bad ones for it, because they don't get the benefit of using, Christ, I don't even remember the name of the card anymore, the one that makes you deal damage when you tap non-basic lands.
Burning Earth.
Burning Earth. Yeah, that's what that's called. Like, that, they don't get to use that. They don't get that benefit. It just, yeah.
I could see Burning Earth getting a bit of play in the upcoming standard season. A little bit more play.
Oh yeah, so can I. I expect it to get a little crazy. The only problem is, how long are we gonna have Burning Earth?
Yeah.
If it doesn't get reprinted in 15, we ain't gonna have it long, so.
It's still another couple of months. And if Mana Confluence becomes a big part of the meta, then Burning Earth becomes really, really punishing.
Yep.
Fair. So, Legacy.
Yeah.
I'm sorry we don't have more to talk about in Standard, but look, we're all waiting for a couple weeks from now. I'm not going to lie.
The top eight was rather blah.
Yes, yes. I'm truthfully, realistically, I can't wait until the fall set. Like, that's...
Yeah, I'm ready for Ravnica to go.
Yeah, you'll get that double core set, which always makes for interesting formats, because there's all kinds of crazy cards in the core set that people discount. But they do make for some cool decks in the middle of the year, but...
Once M15's printed, M14 won't be legal in Standard anymore.
Yes, it will be.
Yeah, until the fall set comes out, we have both core sets legal.
Okay, I'm a noob.
Yeah, it's kind of awkward. It used to be that way, where like as soon as a new big set came out, the last big set would rotate. But when they changed to the M's and did a couple things, it got weird for a while there. And they just said, all right, this is when we're going to do all of our changes. During the fall set, that's it. And it does lead for a couple months of interesting decks. But aside from that, meh. So Morgan McLaughlin. He takes down he's the one seed, and he takes down the tournament. How does he get there? Well, he starts by beating Alex Finley, 2-1, and then Ben Weinberg, goes up against Thomas Herzog and wins 2-0.
Herzog went 2-0.
Yes, yes. And McLaughlin beats him 2-0. So the bottom half of the bracket is Kevin Gerhardt versus Mike Ferrante, and Gerhardt wins 2-1. And then John Wiley, he goes up against Michael Lamb, and Wiley wins 2-0, where Gerhardt will take down Wiley 2-0 and eventually lose to McLaughlin 2-1. So, Legacy decks, yay.
Yeah, I do want to give a shout-out to Herzog for rocking Maverick and bringing it back to a top 8.
I do love me some Maverick.
We haven't seen Maverick, and I believe we've seen it in a top 16.
I think we've seen it in a top 8 this...
No.
It's this year, but it wasn't too far into last year.
It's been a long time since Maverick put up any results.
Yeah, a really long time.
Because I remember me, you, and Will talking about, holy shit, a Maverick deck's in the top 8, and it was kind of unexpected. And that's usually when it happens, is, oh, everybody's going to fair decks, unfair decks, let's go to Maverick. So, Rug Delver wins it all, go figure. Shardless Bug in second, which, I mean, this actually has kind of fallen off recently.
Yeah, Bug Delver's been posting quite a bit better in recent weeks.
Mostly because Shardless Bug is very good against fair decks, but kind of fails a little bit in the combo matchup, right. Whereas Bug Delver has a much better like baseline across all decks.
Right, which is why a lot of the Delver decks you just constantly see, because they're just good against everything. By mere percentage points, but you know, during the course of a tournament, it really... If you're a good player, it really shows towards the end. So we have a Bug Delver in third, like I said, a Maverick in fourth. Excuse me. See, is there anything worth noting in this Maverick deck that we normally don't see?
Singleton Choke in the sideboard.
That is actually a little different.
Pretty awesome.
Teague in the board for, yeah, this is pretty much a very, very, yeah, this is pretty standard. One Gaius Cradle.
Yeah, everything else in that looked pretty stock.
Yeah.
Gaius Cradle's interesting. I don't see that in Maverick all the time.
Down to one Scavenging Ooze. The last time Maverick was really good, Scavenging Ooze was a lot more of. That was why Scavenging Ooze was worth money.
Yes.
So, Rug Delver in fifth, Bug Control in sixth, Four Color Delver.
Yeah, it's the Eric Rill build.
Spy Kids. Why don't they call it Spy Kid, damn it?
Because they don't like listening to you.
I mean, the guy that I don't know. If the people that play it call it Spy Kids, why wouldn't Star City? I don't know.
Meh. Because Star City does what they want to do. They have all of the power. Let's see. Ad Nauseam Tendrils in eighth. Yay. Why do they put up Ants sometimes and Ad Nauseam Tendrils other times? Like, just fucking come up with a name. Eric Wagstaff in ninth with Esper Stoneblade. Jund in 10th. Ooh, Tezzeret in 11th. Yay.
Yeah, it's the Joe Lissette Tezzeret build too, the six Tezzerets.
Ooh.
Two Tezzerets this year and four Agent of Bolas.
All right, let's roll over this. We have four Baleful Strix. Those are his creatures. Don't worry, he'll have more. Three Jace the Mind Sculptor, two Tezzeret the Seeker, four Tezzeret Agent of Bolas. Lands of Note. Actually, all lands are lands of note in Legacy. What am I talking about? He has a Seed of Cyanide, which is an artifact land. That is worth noting. He has an Island of Swamp, four Ancient Tombs, three City of Traders, three Dark Slick Shores. Really? Okay. Four Polluted Delta, three Underground Sea, an Academy Ruins, and one Urborg. Man, I've had a frog caught in my throat all night. Four Chalice of the Void, four Dimir Signets, two Ensnaring Bridge main board, that's amazing. One Nile Spellbomb, one Ratchet Bomb, one Staff of the Nin. That's not fair.
It's really good in this deck.
It really is, but, like, oh.
God, Ensnaring Bridge is brutal. That's a good fucking card.
Yes.
Ensnaring Bridge is really good, and Staff of Nin as a one of is really important because of the last card in this spell list.
Yes. Sword of the Beak, we have one of those. We have two Talismans of Dominance. We have two Thopter Foundries, so we have the old Sword of the Beak, Thopter Foundry combo going on. Four Force of Will, because, well, you can't play Legacy without them, if you're gonna play blue. And three Transmute Artifact. Justin, you're a Legacy guy. Explain, because I'm tired of explaining all the time, why Staff of Nin is so important with Transmute Artifact.
Transmute Artifact lets you sack an artifact on the field and then pay the difference between its converted mana cost and the converted mana cost of what you want to put into play.
Oh, so like sacking a Dimir Signet's really good.
Right, because you can tap it, get two, sack it, pay an extra two with one of your seven soul lands, and you have a Staff of Nin.
That's
on turn
really good.
Two, three.
Yeah, something like that.
Constant card advantage, kill all those Dark Confidence. It's pretty fantastic.
Yeah, it's really weird. One damage to target creature is a big part of that card. And in this format, that a lot of times just is backbreaking.
And sometimes even just to the face. Like I said, this is pretty much card for card the Joe Lissette build. And I've watched him stream this and just kill someone with Staff of Nin, dinking them one
every
to
turn.
The face, every turn.
Well, the old plan with the Tezzeret builds was basically Tezzeret Agent of Bolas. Like, oh, I'm going to make artifacts 5/5s. And that's how I'm going to win.
Yeah, this deck is much more about the Foundry, Sword of the Meat combo, because you don't even have to kill with the Thopters. You just make enough and then ultimate the Agent of Bolas and dome them for 20.
Right. Yeah, he actually has a lot more of the... There's a lot more lines to win in this deck than what we used to see out of the Blue-Black Tezzerets. Like, even in the sideboard where he has the Helm of Obedience combo. So we have another Ensnaring Bridge, a Graft Digger's Cage, a Helm of Obedience, a Pithing Needle, a Ratchet Bomb, a Relic of Progenitus, a Trinisphere, because I love that card, one Lodestone Golem, an Engineered Plague, two Fluster Storm, a Damnation, a Toxic Deluge, and an Abyss. Wait, where's the Helm of Obedience? Graft Digger's
Cage. You don't need the combo because it's specifically brought in against decks that have Rest in Peace.
Right.
So they bring in Rest in Peace to kill your Sword of the Meek Thopter Foundry combo, and you bring in Helm of Obedience to level up and combo kill them immediately as soon as they drop the Rest in Peace.
Let's use yours. The Abyss. Oh my, the Abyss.
Yeah, which sadly does not kill True Name, but can't do everything.
Why does it not kill True Name?
Because it's a targeted effect. As weird as that sounds. Yeah, but it doesn't actually. If you read the wording on it.
Yeah, I guess it is awkward wording. It's old wording. Hooray, Legends. But yeah, it does
players, but it targets from you. So it's a very bizarre wording and sadly does not work against True Name.
Damnation does.
Damnation does, as does Toxic Deluge. As Engineered Plague.
That's worth pointing out, you know?
There you go. Plenty of answers. Yeah. I like this 13th place, Black White Stoneblade. because the guy has the balls and Legacy to run a Hero, Bladehold, and even Lingering Souls, which I don't think I've like ever seen in Legacy.
Yeah, I've seen this deck floating around a little bit for the last couple of weeks. I might point out he's also running two main deck Shriek Maws.
I was just going to say that. Like, those are Shriek Maws. Like, holy hell, those are Shriek Maws.
And a Gatekeeper of Malakir.
I'm pretty sure he's not hard cast. I'm pretty sure he's evoking Shriek Maw. I doubt you ever pay five for that.
Oh, if you get sure the five mana, you just pay five because that fear is actually important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a pretty sweet little list. A lot of hand disruption. Really nice tutor targets for, Stoneforge.
Yeah, Vindicates. Okay, let's just go over it. Four Dark Confidant, three Deathrite Shamans, one Gatekeeper of Malakir. Yeah, that's the, vampire that for two black, kicker of one black, three black, you kill a creature and get a 2/2. A Hero of Bladehold, because if it sticks, it wins in Legacy. Two Shriek Maws, three Stoneforge Mystic, three Liliana of the Veil. My phone is making noises, hooray. One Batterskull, two Chromox, a Sword of Fire and Ice, four Swords to Plowshares, an Umazawa's Jete, a Cabal Therapy, three Hymn to Torak. I love that card.
I love the art they choose too when you roll over it. It's the wolf.
It's the best art.
Is it? Man, I like art. My choice of art is so different. Like, I like the pentagram one.
Isn't there pentagram one with a guy sitting at a table with another dude with like a cap on or something?
There's all kinds of crazy bad art in Fallen Empires. You might as well not dwell on it or you'll be here all night.
Yeah.
Hey. All three arts of Hominid was good. Or Homerid.
I love the old school art.
Fair enough.
I love
all the arts of Thalid were pretty good too, but.
Yeah. And what about Mursane? You telling me Mursane were bad? Okay, we're talking about cards nobody knows what they are. Three Lingering Souls, three Thoughtseize, three Vindicate. There's a reason you don't know what they are. Don't bother looking them up. Two Engineered Explosives in the sideboard, two Phyrexian Revoker, Humility, two Rest in Peace, two Surgical Extractions, a Zealous Persecution, a Gaddic Teague, two Thalia, Guardian of Thravens, a Duress, and a Toxic Deluge. Lands are pretty stock land short of one Caracas, which is actually pretty stock.
Yeah, it's a, like I said, it's a nice little disruptive build. The Shriek Maw and the Hero end up being really good just at their 4 and 5 casting cost, if for nothing else than to dodge Abrupt Decay.
Right.
With the amount of Bug Delver floating around, that's really important.
Yeah, and if you can suit it up with, you know, any of these
sorts. A Batterskull? Anything?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty brutal that way. We did have a High Tide in 16th, but realistically, the talk of the tournament, especially early on in the day, was pod.
Yeah.
There was a pod deck, which, when you think about it, it does avoid a lot of the counters that Legacy does like to run.
It didn't make the top 16, though. So.
It did not make the top 16, but it actually made it. It was a pretty good run. I do believe it cashed.
I've seen a couple of pod decks floating around in Legacy, normally in like a Nykvit shell.
But you have a lot more tools.
It does. This one, I think, specifically was running the Malira pod combo, which I hadn't seen before.
Yeah. You know what would have been awesome just because it is Legacy if you'd have ran Swamp Skeeters?
Ban Malira, not pod. Ban Malira, not pod.
Well, we're not talking about Modern, so I'm not going to get into this particular argument, Ryan. We argue enough about it on the Facebook page.
Yeah. That's fair. I'm in the camp that pod is not a ban-worthy card, but...
And I'm not rising to that bait, so...
a lot of people are...
Good man, Justin.
It's in Legacy now. Oh my god, it's in Legacy, so it must be ban-worthy, and no.
I want to win a Legacy tournament using Swamp Skeeters.
I don't even know what that is, but okay.
0/1, when he hits you, you get a, it's the original poison card. When it hits you, it's a 0/1 that you attack with. If it hits you, you get a poison counter.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It has flying as well. It's a bad card, but you know.
I personally would love to win a Legacy tournament that had a deck including Will-O-Wisps.
Ooh. I used to run a lot of Will-O-Wisps. Like that.
I like 0/1 flyers for black. You know,
that actually was not a bad card. It was late, wasn't it?
It was a pretty good card, because black regen, 0/1 flyer, it basically stonewalls everything in the format except short the Plowshares. So.
That's what it was. It was the regen. So it basically was like almost Prot White. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the real reason everyone tuned in this week, let's face facts. This is the week we put our feet in our mouths. Justin.
Or.
Chosen.
Prove ourselves as geniuses.
Well, yeah, but we all can't say Boonsader.
That's true.
And how many from the rest of the list actually held up?
Boonsader did see a lot of play for about 6 weeks. That's true.
Still sees a little bit of play.
A little bit.
And Boonsader will see a lot more play come rotation. I almost guarantee it. So.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, especially the whole, it is an enchantment, helps it a lot. So.
Yes, it does. So let's roll right into this. And you know what? Ryan, since this is your format of choice, we're going to start with you. What is the best standard card you saw in this set?
Best standard card in this set, I think, hands down, is Mana Confluence. I know that a fixed City of Brass and Modern and Legacy isn't all that big of a deal, and it's a $2 card, I guess, or whatever, but in this standard environment and going forward, I think Mana Confluence is huge. It makes any number of decks a lot more viable. The dual-colored aggro, three-colored aggro is playable now. Junk gets a lot better. Dredge gets a lot better. This is really, I think it's hands down easily the best standard card and the one that we'll see have the most impact going forward.
Here's my thoughts on Mana Confluence in standard. Right now we have a lot of monocolor decks and dual color decks. And to be realistic, those decks, while the dual color decks will get a little bit of advantage from a Mana Confluence, I'm not sure that really until you push three and four colors, does it really show up as, holy crap, this card is amazing. So we're going to have to see a change in the way the format works.
Yeah, three-color aggro, junk. I've heard people make the argument that even Dredge and Junk, like, this is a better card than Temple of Malady. Like, for the, I mean, it's going to be in a lot of decks. And I don't know, if I put my foot in my mouth, I do, but...
I think it's a fine card. I really do think it has the potential to be, you know, what you want it to be. But it just, right now, I need to see what the next set brings. Because right now, like, dual color decks don't really need that extra land at the moment.
They do, though.
I'd be willing to argue that specifically white-green needs that dual color land.
I was just saying that. I play green-white, and this is what I've been waiting for, bro.
Okay.
I've been waiting for this land.
Because white-green's actually, I mean, white-green has not performed nearly as well as it should be, considering the quality of cards that color pair has.
Fair.
And you've got very, very powerful low draw cards in both white and green, but the mana has been what's killed that deck for the last 6 months.
Exactly. I want to be able to play Experiment 1 and Soldier of the Pantheon.
On turn one, and have more than a 4-card chance of that in your entire deck.
Yeah.
You know, so for something like that, it's really important. Also for something like a Naya aggro deck. It's
right,
just,
but then you're in a color, and I agree with completely. In three color decks, I think this thing will shine.
Oh yeah, Megan was talking about this card for her Naya Hexproof deck because it's just gonna make it, cause she runs, Fiendslayer Paladin and Witchstalker, both of which have a dual, you know,
casting
double
cost
white or double green, and then there's the new green Hexproof guy coming out. I think he's a double green. And just there's a lot of, that deck is really mana intensive. And a lot of stuff is coming in tapped when you don't want it. I think Justin's spot on there with the any Naya build also is going to want this.
Yeah, I could agree with that. All right, I'll move on. My pick was Magma Spray. Why? Because it's going to see play.
Very good pick, sir. I got to give you props on this. I totally overlooked this, and then I remembered, oh yeah, Pillar of Flame was a fucking 4-of in a lot of for a long time.
So let's reprint this card and put a new name on it and see if it sees play. Guess what? It's going to see play.
Yeah, I really wish they didn't, because I have the foil promo Pillar of Flames. I wish they just did Pillar of Flame.
But just think, now if you run Mono Red in, you know, Modern, now you can have 8 Pillars of Flame.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people think a voice is going to be better maybe going forward than it has been. And,
Magma Spray will be very good against voice.
Yeah. It's a card that the mono red decks struggle against and they haven't really had an answer to. So yeah.
Yep. Okay. Justin, you were saying something there.
I was going to say that speaking of green white, it sort of puts a tack in that entire argument that it'll be better going forward, because Magma Spray does sort of answer all of their early drops extremely efficiently, and green white gets ahead of you by gaining tempo and card advantage off of voice. So.
Okay. What is your best standard card there, Justin? Ooh, the guest is now going to do it. Uh-oh.
My pick is Deicide. More for the things it is going to keep in check in standard rather than the things it's going to allow in standard. I think sort of annoyed at this card, being a mono blue player, because it's a really good answer to my biggest threat. I'm also kind of annoyed that they've printed all of these incredibly sweet gods over these three sets, and then in the last set show us, yeah, you know what? Here's a 2-mana instant speed answer that's entirely main deckable in most
of my decks. Well, they gave us Revoke Existence in the last set. This just kind of takes Revoke a step further and makes sure you can't draw into it if it was a god. I like the flavor of this card, the whole art. I mean, it is done. That is fucking flavor text, dude. That's,
I agree.
That's the Elspeth line by far that I've seen on a card. Just, it is done. That's fucking sick.
You're right. The art on this is fantastic. It was really close to my favorite art pick. But I think it's going to, and you're already main decking Revoke Existence in white control, Esper control.
This replaces it for sure.
It does, because an instant speed enchantment exile just by itself would be incredibly powerful in this format.
Yeah, it's a disenchant, but it exiles. And then you tack on the
artifacts, which is not really that important right now because all of the good artifacts are enchantments, but it might be important going forward.
It might be, but I mean, once you tack on the fact that, oh, we're also going to put an extirpate on the back end of that if it's a god.
Right, yeah,
like,
we're
going to
put
sick.
Some spotlights on it. You know, it's like,
I think this is also going to replace probably Glare of Heresy, because that's been used for the most part to get rid of enchantments anyways, like the Tension Sphere.
Yeah, I would gladly take the versatility of being able to hit gods, Detention Sphere, and weapons over the ability to destroy an Elspeth, which is basically the only white card of note that Glare ever hit.
Yeah.
Fair enough. So since Limited's kind of my cash, I'll start on this one. And I chose Fleet Feather Cockatrice. It's 3, a green and a blue, Flash, 3/3 Flying Death Touch, Monstrosity 3 for a green, a blue, and 5. It says Flash Flying Death Touch. Yeah, I just think that's good.
Honestly, even if it didn't say Flash or Death Touch, a 3/3 flyer for 5, pretty dang solid.
It's only solid now. We're back in the day like that was like, oh my god, that's, you know, that's one of the best cards. It's only solid now.
Yeah, we get 6/6s for 4 and 5/5s for 3 now with flying.
Yeah, but at 5, at 5 mana, at uncommon, a flying Death Touch. By the way, we did choose the caveat of do not pick a rare or a mythic for this because it's limited.
By the way, this is the most badass peacock in Magic history.
See, I think of it as a pissed off Birds of Paradise.
but it kind of has the peacock feathers. I don't know, man. This is a good pick for Limited for sure. I think Blue has some super good flyers. My pick, yeah. But, this is definitely, and if you can monster assist a 6/6 Death Touch flyer, like,
that's game.
It's game.
Yeah. Justin, what was your pick?
Being a blue player at heart, of course, I had to pick a blue card, and there is no better blue card than a bounce spell, so I pick Hubris.
Hubris is good. Hubris is unfair.
Hubris is fantastic. So it's a blue bounce for 1 and a blue.
Is this the one with Strive?
No, it's return target creature and all auras attached to it to its owner's hand. The problem is, like, we already have, and it's kind of oppressive having 2 packs right now where you can get a Voyage's End. Now that you can't have 2 packs where you get a Voyage's End. Oh, now you have 2 packs where you can get a Voyage's End.
Yeah. I don't know how excited I am about this. People weren't drafting Disperse, and that's the same mana cost, same thing, basically. I mean, except the auras go in the graveyard with Disperse if you were to hit a creature that's Voltroned, but...
Wasn't Disperse M14?
Yeah, I believe so, but people
You have
weren't,
to think of it in the context of the format, though, because Voyage's End is literally, like, the exact same thing. And it's one of the best cards in this format.
It is.
Yeah,
one of the problems.
It's really good, and I think it's also good. I mean, the, especially, and we're seeing a lot of it in this set, too, is these heroic guys that get the 1/1 counters. And for 2 mana to reset, I mean, who cares if the guy doesn't have a bunch of enchantments? This is also really good against those early heroic dudes, like, the Phalanx Leader and stuff. They get all the 1/1s. Reset one of those guys and to put them behind on all the cards that you invest into those heroic strategies. Yeah, this is a great card for Limited for sure.
In some instances, Voyage's End is going to be better because you don't want them to be able to re-Voltron up the guy. So for a stalling method, I'd rather have Voyage's End because it's going to fragment their guys across, you know, 6 different guys, which are easier to deal with. But man, if you're ahead and it's a tempo play, whew.
So correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah, that is true. But it's going to send all the bestowed creatures back to hand. So they are going to have a chance to redo it. But I mean, I don't mind a turn 5 or 6 hubris. I actually think a little better if you can follow.
I think it makes the tempo decks. I think it makes the tempo decks in limited a lot more viable, playable. I think we're going to get some different. I mean, this and Voyage's End, and then what's the three mana one?
There's a 4-mana one. That's Griptide. That thing's absurd.
And there's Refraction Helix from last set.
Yeah. Refraction Helix, yeah. Like, this is... Man,
you're going to be able to pick up solid bounce in each pack in blue. This one's going to clear the board, basically, of a giant monstrous creature, which you normally couldn't deal with in blue.
Right. Oh, yeah. Resets monsters, too. I forgot about that, yeah.
Well, the fact that it returns bestowed creatures is a big deal.
Yeah, and a giant red-white Voltron guy with, you know, vigilant 10-10 lifelinkers, which I've seen a ton of times in this format, you don't have to worry about it. You know, you clear them out, they have to spend the next 4 turns resetting, at which point you're pummeling them in the air, and they're dead.
Yeah, there's been plenty of times where I'm playing blue, and, like, I have a Voyage's End, and they have this huge Voltron creature, and I'm like, okay, I Voyage's End that, now they have 4 creatures, and I'm like, I can't swing. You know?
There's been plenty of times where I've had to Voyage's End my Wavecrash Triton to tap down their giant guy to swing with the rest of my team. This kind of cuts out the middleman.
Yeah, pretty sweet. Good pick. Ryan, what was your pick?
For best limited, I hate to stick with the blue theme because it seems, we just had a blue card, but I really like this one for limited. I think, Sid called it last week is his favorite, card for limited coming up is this Riptide Chimera. 2 and a blue for a 3/4 flyer that says at the beginning of your upkeep, return an enchantment you control to its owner's hands. Now in the show notes, they said I might need to change this, and that's because I think this is a card that needs the right deck, but in sealed, I think that's going to be pretty easy to do in this format.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really easy in draft. It's going to be fairly easy.
I think blue-white, we have the Nyx Fleece Ram, and we also have there's the other one-drop 0/4 in white that came out. So I think that blue-white is going to be more of a deck in this limited environment. We've seen blue-white heroic, but I think we're going to get some of the slower blue-white decks that the sealed has kind of been missing.
I think it's fits blue-white heroic very well, actually.
It does. With all the cantripping enchantments that there exist in the last 2 sets.
Oh, this is totally. I think it's that too. I think a great combo with this in draft would maybe be, what's the ordeal that when it comes in, you draw a card? What's the one that you draw a card
the
when
it best comes one in? I can come up with is Fate Foretold.
Yeah, or Stratus Walk. Yeah. One of the gods.
Yeah, they're both good.
Yeah, I mean, so a lot of people were like, well, you're just gonna have to block with this and then return it to your hand or whatever, and that's fine, like,
if you do that for a couple turns while you're setting up something like a Fate Foretold or a Stratus Walk or something like that, yeah, happy with that.
Any of the I wish for the life of me I could think of the enchantment that when it comes in, you draw a card.
We just named 2 of them.
Okay, those are the ones you draw a card. Yeah, I mean.
Those are 2 of them. There's more. There's like, Chosen by Helioid.
That's the one I'm thinking of.
Okay.
By Helioid. Yeah, to be able to pull some shenanigans that this card allows, if you are lucky enough to get, I mean, even blue-green, if you get that Eidolon of Blossoms and this, you play Riptide every turn and draw another card, an extra card.
Constellation is a thing in this set. So yeah. You're rewarded for playing additional enchantments. So if you have something that's bouncing it back to your hand and you're getting card draw from cantripping enchantments and extra value from various Constellation cards on the field.
Yeah, such as a Whitewater Naiad.
Right.
Oh, let me say that your one flyer can't block. So I can get through with this Riptide Chimera and kill you.
Right. On top of a very good body.
Right.
That's a serious deal.
Yeah.
Aside from the Riptide though, I'm excited about Reprisal too, an uncommon destroy target creature, power 4 or greater, can be regenerated for a colorless and a white. But I didn't want to be, you know, I always pick removals, so went with a creature this time, but.
Okay. Well, that's fine. Justin, I'm going to say Legacy's your bag. So, I'm going to let you pick. I'm going to let you go first, brother.
All right, I chose Disciple of Deceit, which is a... Let me just pull it up here real quick. Pardon while my internet decides to die on me. All right, for a blue and a black, it's a Human Rogue 1/3. It has Inspired. Whenever Disciple of Deceit becomes untapped, you may discard a non-land card. If you do, search your library for a card with the same converted mana cost as that card, reveal it, put it into your hand, then shuffle your library. Now, there wasn't a ton of stuff in this set that I immediately looked at and said Legacy, other than what you picked later on, Angelo.
Yeah.
But I like Dark Confidant variants, and card search in Legacy is incredibly useful. There's a lot of sort of homogenous casting costs in Legacy.
Yeah, there is. Like, people like to keep things at 1, 2, and 3 in Legacy. So something like the site.
Something that gives you a free transmute every turn. It's pretty awesome.
We just got to figure out a way to get this thing tap every turn. Although in Legacy, the 1-3 is not something to scoff at.
Yeah, exactly. You can swing that into a Stoneforge. You can swing it into a Deathrite.
Yeah. You can swing it into a lot of things. And it's going to be fairly solid. No, I think that's a good pick. We're just going to have to, someone's going to have to build around that.
Oh, I completely agree. It isn't something that's going to get slotted in anywhere that already exists. But much like a lot of other cards that see Legacy and Modern play, it's an engine card. Mm-hmm. It allows you to set up combos. It allows you to build and sculpt your hand. And anytime I see something like that in an Eternal format, I immediately want to take and stop and go, okay, this might do something.
Right. Ryan, in all of your Legacy genius that you have, what did you pick?
Nothing. Fucking nothing. I went through this entire set, and I just couldn't find a single card that I was really like, first I look at the mana cost. I mean, it is Legacy, and there is some stuff that, wow, that's really powerful, but then I see the mana cost, and it's like, no, can't do it. I just didn't see anything that really excited me for Legacy, or something I could see like really crazy things being done. Yeah.
Dude, I can understand it, and that is the whole reason I chose the cop-out of Mana Confluence for Legacy.
Well, and to be fair, Mana Confluence will replace City of Brass and all the dredge decks or whatever, so.
That's why it's playable.
It'll actually just add on to City of Brass, but yeah, Mana Confluence
really?
is even better in Vintage.
You think that they'll add that as City of Brass through 8?
I think they could, easily. I mean, there's no reason they wouldn't want another 4 copies of City of Brass.
For sure. Yeah, I could see that argument. I don't know. Oh, here, best Legacy card, Sigiled Starfish. There you go.
Okay.
Perfection, baby.
Okay, let's see. It's your turn again there, Ryan. Best Modern card.
Best Modern card. Again, I mean, didn't really see anything that excited me for Modern. I kind of looked at Twin Flame for a second and looked at it again and was like, nah.
Now, the first time they printed something like that, it didn't see play, so.
Yeah, I didn't really see anything that could fit. I thought of a lot of the current Modern decks. I didn't really see. I could see Nyxfleece Ram, maybe in Soul Sisters. I don't, but who plays that?
yeah, really, I'm like, that's a stretch. You did have on here, though, that you could possibly go Athreos, and I can back that.
Well, I said Athreos maybe just because of Pod. I don't know. I'd have to talk with Megan and see what Pod really does at 3 outside of Kitchen Finks, and I don't know what else they really run at 3. Maybe Eternal Witness. Is that the 3 drop?
Yeah.
But
I could definitely see Athreos out of the board at the very least with Pod, just as Supreme Verdict Protection.
Well, I've actually heard a lot of people, and I haven't seen any testing results yet, so I don't really know, but a lot of people are working on a Persist Pod, where like all of their creatures are Persist, and they're using Athreos and Pod to, you know, make, you know, they still have a couple of the utility creatures in there, but mainly it's like Athreos and the Persist effect. Like that's what they're trying to really hammer home. And yeah, it seems good.
Yeah, that's, but again, didn't really see anything too exciting that I was like, wow, I didn't see a burn spell that made me go, that goes in mono red burn, and I didn't see, you know, really anything for Modern, so, sorry guys.
Fair enough. I chose Eidolon of Blossoms because I do think that if there is, there's an engine here. I don't see a deck that it fits in yet, but long term, I can see something being created around this because there is a card draw engine here. It's gonna be something like an Enchantress style deck that just abuses the whole idea of, you know, oh, I'm gonna draw an extra card. Oh, I'm gonna draw an extra card. Like every turn. I could be crazy. What do you guys think?
Well, I think that's crazy because the Enchantress decks already have Argothian Enchantress at 2. So they're drawing a card off of that. And then at the 3 drop spot, they have Enchantress's Presence. Do they really need to go 2, 3, 4 with the same effect? I don't.
No, but how many of those are actually creatures? Enchantress's Presence isn't. And what is that other one? Gothian?
Argothian Enchantress is, well, that's not Modern legal, never mind.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. Yavimaya is, but it's a 1-1.
Yeah, but I mean, they already have, like, cheaper, you know, cheaper cards that do the same thing. I don't a 2-2 for 4, I'm not super excited about. I think that...
A 2-2 for 4, Ryan, has almost nothing to do with the rest of the card. Just like I was talking about with Disciple of Deceit, Eidolon is an engine card. And anytime there's a card that lets you draw a card both on itself and from doing other things you're probably doing anyway in that type of shell, it's worth keeping in mind. I agree with Angela. I mean, there's nothing right now.
And at worst, you do get a body and you do get to draw a card. I mean, you do draw a card off this when it enters.
Right, and when that type of effect is tacked onto a creature, you have a combo kind of feel to a deck, but it still allows you to go on the offensive with the little weenie creature plan, which is the reason Elves is such a good combo deck in Legacy. Is yes, on one turn it can draw 70,000 cards and combo you out with, you know, a giant creature smashing you in the face, or it can just value by replacing all of its cards with another card and hitting you for 2 every turn. That's why I think Eidolon is really a pretty solid card for something that might come about in Modern.
Yeah, it's a build around me. It's not there yet, but the nice thing is, with any of these Eternal formats, is as time goes on, you're going to get more tools to work with. And this could be 5 years from now before this deck shows up, but when it does, this is going to be considered a good card. That's my opinion, again, you know. What did you pick there, Justin?
I picked Brain Maggot, which is also one of my favorite cards for Standard in the set, but I think it's going to really shine in Modern.
Oh, dude, with things like the Rack and Tarmogoyf and Smallpox and I need to shut up.
Well, okay, so go Brain ahead.
It's a 1 and a black for a enchantment creature insect. It's a 1/1. When Brain Maggot enters the battlefield, target opponent reveals his or her hand, and you choose a non-land card from it. Exile that card until Brain Maggot leaves the battlefield. So it's a Tidehauler Sculler. That's a 1/1, but it only costs 1 and a black to cast it. In modern, I see a really interesting white-black disruption shell based around small creatures, because you've got Tidehollow, you've got another full playset of discard effects now, you've got Thalia. It's just, you've got a lot of tools that I can see moving into something interesting.
Yeah, I like this card a lot, too. A lot of these enchantment creatures and stuff, man, I wonder if Hero of Iroas is ever going to be playable. I'd like to drop this for 1 mana. I don't know, maybe I'm stretching, but yeah, I definitely, I'm a fan of this card myself. The art is kind of gross, but...
The art is incredibly gross, but it's... I love Disruptive Bears, which is weird as a control player, I know that, but that's the other style of deck I like to play, is small disrupt creatures, so...
Yeah, Thoughtseize into this, and,
if you put back a Standard, you can go Thoughtseize into Brain Maggot into Sin Collector, and I just don't know how a control deck can beat you.
See, I'm just thinking completely absurd here, but I'm thinking like Thoughtseize into this, into a Tidehollow Sculler that has been Path to Exile.
Yeah, you could do that too.
And it's just like so, I mean, and that is a legitimate one turn, 1/2/3. That's going to wreck a lot of decks.
Yeah, this type of effect is traditionally incredibly, incredibly powerful. Again, this sort of has the fixed wording where you can't do the tricks with Tidehollow.
Yeah, which is
exiled or kill the Tidehollow and, you know, but still, it's still an incredibly powerful effect on a 2-drop, which, you know, Vial set to 2 is a really good spot for white and black in Modern.
Yeah, there's Vial. There is the Vial option. Didn't even think of that.
Yeah, this gives you 8 chances for them to draw a card, and on their draw step you go, Vial on 2, drop Tidehollow, drop Brain Maggot. If it's not a land, you didn't have a draw step.
Yeah. Okay. Well, moving on. Best EDH card, myself and Justin chose the same one. Justin, go ahead. You can tell them what it is.
Dictate of Erebos. It's Grave Pact at instant speed. Wouldn't want to play that. It's a 3 black-black for an enchantment. It has Flash. Whenever a creature you control dies, each opponent sacrifices a creature.
Yep.
This just seems like the type of effect that almost every black EDH player on Earth wants.
Yeah, I was actually kind of torn. I almost didn't choose this. I almost chose Worst Fears.
I could see that.
In EDH, that's the type of effect people love. But it's not it's not like Mindslaver where you can do it turn after turn after turn after turn. So I was just like, no, I think I'm going to go with the other one.
Yeah, the fact that Worst Fears exiles itself kind of takes away its abusability.
Yeah, which is really a shame. Rye, what'd you pick?
Well, I picked, as much as I like Makar, I don't know how playable he is in, EDH, and that was my first choice. So I ended up settling on, Krufix, God of Horizons. Krufix, God of EDH is, I'll be referring to him. We already got people like Tice talking about how they're gonna break this and hurt people in EDH.
Yeah, this thing's good.
pretty sweet in EDH to the fact his mana, your mana pool just grows and grows and grows. Pretty nuts. The no maximum hand size, well, not, I don't believe is relevant at all in standard, is certainly relevant in EDH. Yeah, I think this is a really good card for EDH and one that a lot of shenanigans are going to be pulled off with.
I will say fine choice. I can agree with that completely.
I agree as well. I am sure somebody in my playgroup will play this, and I will hate them for it.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, Tice was already saying, I don't know what kind of combo he came up with it, but people were like, you're an asshole.
So, best art, you two chose the same one, sort of. Ryan kind of chose two, and I chose something completely different. So, Justin, go ahead and tell us what yours was.
I chose Nyx Fleece Ram because I love Therese Nielsen's art.
Yep.
Just gorgeous watercolored backgrounds, and it's a giant sheep. How is that not awesome?
Okay. All right. I'm just going to go and say it. I'm not a fan of Therese Nielsen's art at all. I think it's childish looking, and I don't like it.
Dude, look at Dictator Heliod and tell me that's not a beautiful art.
I don't like her art style. You know, art is all in the eyes of the beholder, and to me, like, I look at, like, Nyx Fleece Ram, and, like, I look at the background, and it looks not that good, and, you know.
Yeah, see, where I look at the background, and that's actually my favorite part of the card.
Yeah, see, it's completely in the, you know, the eyes of the beholder, and Dictate kind of has the same thing going on for me, and it's just her art style does not ring with me, which, you know, I know a lot of people really love it, and hey, by all means, knock yourself out, but to me, it just doesn't do it.
Well, like I said, when we were talking before the cast.
Descendant's Path is a beautiful card by her. Her art is fucking phenomenal, and it gives you that vintage, like, this is hand-painted. Like, she did this with her hands and a brush, and then you see cards like Dictate of Erebos, and it's clearly, like, there's stuff that's just so clearly digital nowadays. That it just looks like shit. There's a recent card, Messenger Speed. I mean, that is like the shittiest looking human being on a card I've ever seen in my life. I mean, you could just tell someone did it on a fucking computer. Like,
the thing is, if somebody does it on a computer, are you saying automatically that's not art?
No,
because
I think it
is. You know, it's just looking good is still looking good.
Like Ajani's Crescent, that to me looks like it was made digitally, and that is a sick piece of art. I like that. Some cards I think are very good. The ones that look like, oh man, you gotta love, I love those artists like Therese Nielsen and RK Post, people like that, that have that old school look that, like, you know, they took their time on the card. They didn't just sit down at a desk and make it, like.
I appreciate the work.
Like Angelo said though, Ryan, I mean, it's, art is incredibly subjective. Like I could go and look at a Jackson Pollock. And some people will say Jackson Pollock is this brilliant artistic genius. I think Jackson Pollock is terrible. But that's my opinion. Art is entirely subjective. And Therese Nielsen feels like the type of artist who has a very, like, love it or hate it sort of relationship. There's almost no one I've talked to who falls directly in the middle of just not caring with Therese Nielsen stuff. So, fair. All subjective, man.
Yeah, I mean, I look at things like Warhol in Pittsburgh. He's loved, but realistically, I look at his stuff, I'm like, it's the same picture four times. How is that art?
I like Kruphic, God of Horizons also was amazing. The art on this set in general, that was maybe one of the harder choices, I think, Angelo, that you gave us to make.
Dude, I jumped around on my choices quite a bit. Like, I was like, oh crap, what do I choose? Because I had
the font, all of the fonts look beautiful. I mean, all the fonts look good.
I ended up actually going with Font of the Return, with the rings and, like, the Minotaur coming out of the middle of the rings. To me, that just, I mean, yeah, that's obviously computer, generated, but it looks smooth to me, man. That thing coming out of the swamp, ugh.
The Nyx ether kind of floating there. Yeah, like, I like that art.
That's what I was wondering. I look at that as like a pool of water with the reflection of Nyx. Cause, you know, theirs is in the air at night.
Yeah, it's like the pool of reflections or something, right? Isn't that a thing in mythology or something? Isn't like,
yeah, I'm not sure it's Greek.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I look at it, and I'm just like, this is really cool to me, and I don't know. This is the type of art that I feel, so there you go. All right, so next choice we have, and this is, you know, this is a good one because this has been a good set for this, is Flavor. And Ryan, what was your best flavor?
Oh man, King Makar, our gold curse buddy, man. This is, I wish with Mana Confluence, it was named like King Makar's Gold Castle or something like that. You know what I mean?
Oh my God. Really?
That sounds like a children's show from the 80s.
You know what I mean? That's exactly what I was thinking.
No, like the Golden Castle of Makar or something.
It still
like,
sounds like a child show from the 80s.
City of Gold to play off of like City of Brass. I don't know. City of Gold. I don't know. I think they could have done something with that. King Makar, the Gold Curse 2.
It does sound like Eureka's Castle.
It does, or it sounds like something that would be on Nickelodeon after, you know.
Eureka's Castle was on Nickelodeon. I'm sorry, Ryan.
I don't know. I just, Mana Confluence, that just is a, like, I don't know. I think that name is a failure.
Hey man, living in the city of the Confluence, I understand that perfectly. When you got a bunch of streams coming to one point.
Well, yeah. Oh, I get it.
And you know what I see when I see a name that's that generic in a set that's this flavor filled?
Could be reprinted.
Yeah, they named it that way so they could reprint it in a core set at some point.
Okay. That's fair. That makes perfect sense actually. Cause I was wondering, I was like, they have this land. It's the money land of the set, like, and they completely failed on the name. But yeah, King Makar, I think, is great flavor. He's obviously the Midas dude. The art just depicts what he's going through really well, I think.
Art on that card is fantastic. So incredibly
I love how his cat, is that like his cat or some sort of pet next to him, and he's got his arm on it and it turned to gold, like, poor guy.
Yeah, his old lady's in the background just frozen.
Yeah, I mean, it's trippy. I think this card is super flavor and a sweet card to boot. I don't think it's standard playable or anything, but that ability is sick.
Okay. So. I myself went with Atlas. I mean, Bearer of the Heavens, because it's Atlas. I mean, it's just.
Right. What card is it? Bearer of the Heavens. Yeah. The eight drop.
Yeah. The eight drop 10/10, you know, when he dies, destroy all permanents at the beginning of the next end step. Like, you know, if Atlas drops the world, that's what happens. So. Like, to me, this was just, like, I don't know, like, I thought this was really cool. Like, oh, okay, you know, if he drops that, we're all dead. Yeah, it makes sense.
You know what I want to do?
Speaking of the next end step, so you get the flavor concept of everyone is watching the heavens fall on them slowly.
Yes!
Yes! Oh, no!
So much flavor, it's just oozing like a fucking syphilitic penis. It's great.
It's pretty sweet, man. I love the art on it. I think I'm going to challenge myself and whip this out of my graveyard in standard.
Oh, I don't, like it. Dude, just for fun, I want to reanimate this thing once.
Actually, no, that wouldn't work with the whip because it's when it dies and the whip would exile it. Never mind. Ooh.
I don't know why you'd want to exile all your permanents or destroy all your permanents with a whip in play.
Because I got him to one life with a Master of Cruelties. I don't fucking know, dude. I'm being ridiculous.
There actually is some people talking about using this with, what was that black card that you had to sacrifice a creature that you control? And
Rescue from the Underworld.
Yeah, this and Rescue from the Underworld together.
Or a Shadowborn Demon if you don't have enough dudes in your yard.
Yeah, that'll work as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's interesting ways we can abuse this. It's just who's going to figure out the best way. Either way, it's great flavor. Justin, what did you choose as your best flavor?
I picked Supply Line Cranes.
Supply Line Cranes. What is that?
Supply Line Cranes. It's a 3-mana, 3-colorless, 2-white, 2/4 flying bird. When Supply Line Cranes enters the battlefield, put a +1/+1 counter on target creature. But I mostly picked it for the art, which is a bunch of cranes flying. It's a 3/5 flyer for 5. Common, so also a really nicely playable limited card.
Yep.
But the art shows a ton of cranes flying into a battlefield, dropping swords and spears to the army. Try to imagine the type of world where you step back from the battlefield to get a drink, and a bird lands with your replacement weapon. That's awesome.
Okay, cool. Reasoning, I'll accept.
If your spear breaks in combat and you hold up your hand and the crane flying above you drops a new spear into your hand.
Yeah, that's kind of sweet. That would be an interesting world to live in.
Yes, exactly.
An interesting world to live in. Okay, now here's the one. This is the one where typically one of us always puts her foot in her mouth. This is the one where one of us says something that just turns out to be unequivocally not true.
And I'm willing to go on record saying it will possibly be me. So.
You know, no, I think it could be you or Ryan, to be real honest. I think I'm safe.
You picked a pretty safe choice there, Angelo. I don't think anyone's really going to argue.
I'm going to go with the safe one first, just to get this out of the way. I chose Font of Vigor because I have instants that can do the same thing and you can't destroy an instant.
Wait, what's Font of Vigor? What's the card?
It's a white card. It's the white font and
it's a colorless and white.
It's an enchantment that you put onto the battlefield. For a white and two colorless, sacrifice Font of Vigor and you can gain 7 life. Well, I could just gain 7 life for 3 mana at instant speed. Why do I need to put an enchantment out there that somebody could possibly destroy? Just use the instant. This card's bad.
Okay. Well, I agree. Yeah. I wouldn't even play it in limited. It would never find my deck.
I think this is going to be that card that I forget was even in limited come the end of the cycle. Oh yeah, okay. Justin,
I chose I could have gone the cheap route and picked another font that probably would never, because believe me, picked, well, the font more so, because the one Angelo picked was actually really close to my number one. But I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Farika, God of Affliction, is the worst card in the set for a couple of reasons. There was a lot of hope riding on the black green god, and while as not as much of a failure as the white green god, I still think Farika doesn't do what black green wants it to do enough that it'll see play. Certainly not in standard, definitely not in legacy. I can almost never see playing it in a limited deck, except in very, very strange circumstances. Dude. And I know we argued about this earlier, but
Good reason to bring it up again as a 3-drop. Jam this in every green black deck that I possibly pull this thing in, just so I could have the instant speed replace a creature you already killed with a death touch creature to block your creature.
Well, just can I go off that, Angelo? What Angelo was saying too is I feel like at the end of this current limited environment, black green, I don't know, Angelo, tell me if I'm wrong, but I feel like black green just sort of got figured out and limited, and it gets a lot of good tools with this set.
It gets extra scorpions.
Yeah, I think Farika, God of Affliction is really good, especially now that, we kinda have the black green deck figured out, and in limited, we mentioned this last week, to get a 2-for-1 out of anything in limited is huge, and to turn all your creatures into 2-for-1s, it's just a big deal.
I might give you guys the point about limited, but for constructed formats, I definitely terrible. Say Farika is not where I want to be.
Yeah, it's a Nombo. First of all, you need 7 devotion to turn it on, right? And then it has this ability that requires you to have your shit dying and thus not adding to your devotion count. It's weird. You know what I mean? Do I want shit on the battlefield so I can turn this on, or do I want shit on the graveyard? Make up your mind, Farika.
And in standard, green-black seems to be a very heavy self-mill concept. You know, if that green-black exile target ability was exile target card from a graveyard, this card would be fantastic.
Now let's just say that RIP is leaving, right? We know that.
Right.
Now let's say that a reanimator deck pops back up once Rest in Peace is gone.
Night Howler doesn't want this card. I'd rather put a 1/1 on my
But what you're going on, I'm just saying.
I can see it as conditional sideboard stuff.
This is kind of what I mean. Like a reanimator. Right? I'm not saying necessarily a Night Howler deck, Ryan. I'm saying a reanimator deck comes out where they're literally putting out, I don't know, a 10/10 that destroys everything if it dies. And they go to target that. It's good to have that ability to go, no, you can have a 1/1. Fuck that thing.
No, I agree. And there's a lot of graveyard hate that is rotating out once Ravnica leaves. Because not only is Rest in Peace going, but Death Ray Shaman's going, and Scavenging Ooze is going.
Right. That's kind of why I'm like, this might be the only thing we have left, therefore it might see some sideboard play.
Potentially. It would make me really sad if this became a very playable card. It was just incredibly disappointing.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I don't
Again,
think
may not be really the worst card in the set, but is certainly the card in the set that came out, I looked at, and was the saddest about.
Okay, this is the one he was most disappointed about.
True, and
I can understand that
disappointment to make a completely irrational statement that this is the worst card in the set, and I will stand by that and allow the Facebook group to tear me apart.
Speaking of irrational statements, Ryan, what is the worst card in the set?
It's a Johnny.
You're so wrong.
You are insane, Ryan.
Johnny's good.
Green white aggro won't play him.
Green white midrange will.
So we'll junk mid-range. So we'll Naya mid-range.
I don't like a 5-drop Ajani. Okay, I'm Selesnya, so I had high hopes for this card. Really high hopes. I've been looking forward to this guy for a very, very long time. And I feel like the design team fell asleep. Like, even the 3-drop Ajani has an ultimate that wins you the game. All this fucking does is prolong it. Like, it's fucking...
The ultimate on this card doesn't matter, though, because it's 2+. Okay, ultimate Lightest will not exist.
That's fair, that's fair. And to be honest, if you're ultimating any Planeswalker in Standard today, you're probably winning that game anyways, or you're probably in the position to win it, or you're ahead anyways. I understand that whole argument that if you're ultimating any Planeswalker nowadays, you're probably fucking winning that game. But... it just doesn't do anything for me. The 1+1, I feel is very conditional. It's not a May ability. So that kind of throws me off. Look at the top four cards of your library. That's not a bad thing. I don't think that's a bad ability. I don't think it's terrible. I just don't think this card. I think this is like the next $8 Planeswalker, like Ralzeric or the last Gideon we got. I'm just not,
How about this, Ryan? How about I told you, like, just with no other knowledge of what I'm talking about, I'm giving you a 5-drop Planeswalker that increases the power and toughness of your creatures on the board up to 3.
If you have creatures on the board.
If you have them, or doubles the power on a 3-3, or turns a 2-2 into a 5-5 as a plus ability, and as another plus ability, draws you a card. Almost definitely. So, I mean, in a mid-range
70% of the time, you're going to get something from him. If you have no creatures on the board, you use the plus ability to look at your top four, you're going to get something 70 to 80% of the time.
I could see this maybe in Bank or something like that. It's just not the Ajani that us Selesnya players wanted. It's a real big
Ajani that the Selesnya players wanted. He's a 3-drop.
I like the 3-drop Johnny, but I don't know. We had, I think Selesnya players had really high hopes for this card, and it kind of fell short. Yeah. I just don't think it got the attention it needed from, R&D. I think it's pretty clear that, I don't know, they just threw, like, the second plus one of looking at the top four cards. That doesn't feel like green and white at all.
Really? I mean, see, this really feels very Selesnya to me.
No, look at top four cards. That feels more of like, maybe black green, or it just doesn't feel like,
I don't know,
like,
man.
It doesn't feel
every, the last Garrick we had looked at the top five cards and put creatures into your hand. You know, Domri Raid, which is a green red card, looks at the top card, and if it's creature, you put it into your hand. So it is a very, very green mixed ability, at least.
Yeah,
it's Gavity Township on steroids.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I mean, if you're ramping him out with mana dudes in a Naya Bant or junk mid-range shell, you're making all of your mana dudes into 3-3s, 2-2s. That's an incredibly powerful ability. Plus, it also pulls into a really janky 3-card infinite turn combo in Standard.
Ooh, explain.
Okay. So you have a Johnny, Mentor of Heroes. You have, what the hell called?
I don't think that was
just the Fathom Mage. Is this the Fathom Mage, like a Fathom Mage combo?
Probably. No, it's not a Fathom Mage combo, actually. Sage of Hours. Sage of Hours is one and a blue for a 1/1 human wizard, and he has heroic. Whenever you cast a spell that targets him, put a +1/+1 counter on it, but that's unimportant. You can ignore that. And it has the ability to remove all +1/+1 counters from Sage of Heroes. For each five counters removed this way, take an extra turn after this one.
Oh, okay,
so
yeah.
If you have Sage of Heroes on the board, you can put 3 counters on him, and if you have Voral or the Holeclade in play, you can double the counters on him and take an extra turn, and do that infinitely.
That's absurd.
Yep.
Funny, but absurd.
Yeah, I mean, it's completely unplayable, but it's...
Yeah.
Anytime you have a goofy infinite combo in Standard, it's worth noting.
That's actually, it's a goofy infinite combo in Limited? No, it's missing the one card. World, damn it. Yeah.
I've been waiting for Varel of the Holeclade to find a deck for so long, dude. I've been waiting for someone to do something with it. I love that card. I got foils. I'm not joking when I say I have 10 Varel of the Holeclades.
That was a poor investment, Ryan.
It was a poor investment. Fucking pre-orders.
Okay, so as I typically like to do this time of the cycle, let's go over the top 25 because there's not going to be any GPs for a while. So these are going to stay pretty stagnant for the next few weeks, so it's worth kind of going over. Unfortunately, they release these on Wednesdays and we record on Tuesdays, which is the only reason I don't go over these every single week. But these will be here for a while pretty much as is. fill the Pro Tour, which would be amazing. So our top nine are the exact same as they have been, and it's Jeremy Dazani, Reed Duke, Owen Turtenwall, Ben Stark, Sam Black, Shar Shanhar, Tom Martell, Yuya Watanabe, and Shuhei Nakamura, but Shi Tian Lee moves up five spots into the 10th.
Yep. Takes out Raptor.
Yes. So Ryan, you want to go over the, next 10?
We got Raptor, Josh Utter-Layton, Alexander, Bring the Pain, Hain.
Who dropped one spot?
Fucking hate saying this guy's name. 13, Jacob Wilson. 14, Stanislav Sipka. 15, Willie Adel. 16, Josh McClain. Of course, we kind of expected him to stick there after his recent success. Makihita Maharo, 17. Paul Rizzo at 18. 19, Sean McLaren. That guy's a beast. And 20th is Ifro. No changes there, really, outside of Sipka dropping a couple spots and Adel dropping down a spot. But, yeah.
Yeah, a little bit of movement. Justin, do you want to go over the last five?
Sure. There's David Ochoa moving up three spots at 21. Kentaro Yamamoto also moving up three spots at 22.
Yep.
Chris Fennell dropping two spots to 23. On 24, we've got Raph Levy dropping a spot. And on 25, we have Martin Yuza dropping three spots. And sadly, dropping off the rankings is William Huey Jensen.
Yeah, that is kind of sad. He has been spending a lot of time on the SCG circuit, though, so that kind of makes sense.
There, yeah.
I mean, if you're going to SCG, those don't count towards this. So instead,
see, he's had some GP success lately, and he just top eighted.
Yeah, he just top eighted Philly. I know, but in general, he has been showing up in more SCGs than he has GPs. So okay, I can accept it. I'm sure when he wants to turn it on, he'll be able to.
Because he's shown that repeatedly over the last 2 years. So
yeah, I am really looking forward to the Pro Tour that's coming up. I love Block Constructed.
Block Constructed is always really fun. When,
yeah, I'm a big fan of Block too. If I had MTGO, I would play it. I really like Block. When I got into the game, I believe the Avacyn Pro Tour was Block Constructed, and Finkel had a sweet Drawn Skull Captain Spirits deck that really had my attention and kind of got me into the game a bit. And I'm looking forward to it too. I'm with you, man. I'm really excited about Block and seeing what we get.
Yes.
I think Block is a good indication of what we're going to have going forward. And there's some decks that have been really strong in Block online, including Junk, which we talked about, and some aggro decks that I think going forward we're gonna see a lot more of.
Yeah, it's usually a very good indication, but usually the one that wins these things you have to ignore. Because it's usually like a great synergy within the block that isn't so good when you move out of the block. Like, I've seen this multiple times over the years where it's like, oh my god, this card is amazing, and holy crap, and then it's like, once you bring in, you know, the core set and another set, it's like, oh, that's completely fucking unplayable. Wilfear Silverheart. I mean, there you go right
there.
Yeah,
I want to see, I'm real excited about to see what kind of enchantment deck get out of this. I have a feeling, we're gonna see like an all enchantment deck or something, so.
I have the feeling we're gonna see, Gary. We're gonna see.
Yeah, I can see a lot of mono black.
Mono black, Herald of Torment, Masterpiece. Yeah. Mono black's pretty good in block. Yeah,
I think mono black's probably gonna win this thing, but who knows? We might see something crazy. We might see Farika do really well. Or a Jolly.
It's entirely possible. I didn't.
Or Font of Vigor.
No, we won't.
Know, shockingly, I think that Junk deck just needs a little bit of a push over the top. Maybe if it had some sort of 5-drop Planeswalker that could shore up all its mana guys and dig itself deeper into its deck. Maybe that would help that Junk deck too.
It might. Who knows?
No.
We'll find out.
I'll put my foot in my mouth to Johnny. I put my foot in the mouth of Johnny. I think he'll show up in the first couple weeks if people want to try him out and see what he does. I think Kiora is a whole lot better and only costs 4 mana.
I think Kiora is better too. I'm not going to argue that. I think
Kiora is generally going to be played in a different style of shell than a Johnny is.
Exactly. I was thinking the Kiora same lines.
And has an ultimate that wins game. I just hate Ajani, dude. I feel like they dicked us over. I feel like they fucked us Celestia players. I'm not excited about it. If I put my foot in my mouth, I do, but when I'm buying them for $6, $7, $8, I'll say I told you so, but we'll see.
Okay. Little bit of news, conspiracy spoiler here, Dak Faden. I am not as impressed with this as everybody else. Please explain to me why I'm wrong. This is
why
what
does
it
he
is.
Look like a fucking
well, he's just
angel motherfucker, dude. What is with these long hair emo looking lame ass dudes?
Because chicks need fucking long haired emo.
No, we don't, dude. I'll bring a chick down here right now and tell you otherwise, dude. That shit ain't cool.
Okay,
it's a classic fantasy trope to have the long haired Lothario leading character.
Yeah. So here's what Dak Faden is. It's one a blue and a red, 3 loyalty, planeswalker. Dak. Target player draws 2 cards, then discards 2 cards for a +1. Gain control of target artifact for a -2. And for a -6, you get an emblem with whenever you cast a spell that targets one or more permanents, gain control of those permanents.
He is the greatest thief in the multiverse.
Yeah, but you gotta get to 6. The draw 2, discard 2, that's the best ability on here. Gain control of target artifact, that'll be good in a cube.
I also think it'll be really good in vintage.
Is this legacy playable?
Yes.
This is legacy and vintage playable.
Oh man, I like this.
So why is this good? Maybe I'm missing it. To me, it's just like, okay, he's good, I guess.
Well, in a format like, I'm specifically looking at this for vintage. And again, vintage isn't something I play, but it is something I follow quite a bit. So any planeswalker that's going to be playable in vintage has to be 4 casting cost or below. And if it's going to be 4 casting cost, it should really be Jace the Mind Sculptor. So with 3 drop planeswalkers, you've got Liliana, which is playable.
Yeah.
Domri, which is almost playable.
Yeah.
And this Dak Faden card. So you've got card filtering. In vintage, if you're drawing extra lands, you're giving up spots in your deck, basically. You don't want to draw extra lands in vintage because you've got so much else you can do. Gain control of target artifact is a hugely important ability in vintage. If you can drop him on 3 and gain control of, you know, a worm coil.
Can you take artifact lands? Can you take artifact lands in vintage?
Yes, you can. Artifacts.
Affinity's not a huge thing, but like if a workshop deck is dropping, you know, a turn 3 worm coil and you're able to drop a turn 4 deck, you can steal the worm coil. Okay. Or you can steal their,
I like his discard too in Legacy with Snapcaster running around and other cards that have flashback.
I think the best ability on here. The gain control of target artifact, I think, is meh. And the last one, I don't ever see anybody getting to.
The -2 can hose people in Legacy playing Stoneforge, I suppose, but.
Yeah, they could. This is a great follow-up to them, Stoneforge for Batterskull and Dropskull.
Okay. That's fine, but here's my thing. I keep hearing all these people who don't play these formats telling me how good this card is. Are they missing something? Because I don't see it. And, you know, for one, it's not legal in, will it be legal in Modern? That I'd have to find out.
It will not. No, it's only, because Modern's not technically an Eternal format. It's just a non-rotating.
Okay, for 90% of the players out there.
This won't matter at all.
This is a cube card.
Yeah, or an EDH card.
I can see the implications in Legacy. I mean.
I can see some in Legacy. I can't.
It's fitting a rug heavy. I think in a fight between red blue planeswalkers, Rao Zarek would beat the dog mess out of this dude, but, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, but that costing one less is a huge deal. I mean, I don't think it's gonna be a major role player in any format, but I can see its applications in Legacy and Vintage.
Yeah, I like this in Legacy. I mean, especially with Snapcaster, you could throw some stuff in your yard. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I don't think he's that bad. I don't like that. I think in Legacy, you're not too worried about his ability to protect himself as much as you are in like Standard or Modern, but.
I mean, he's no Liliana of the Veil, so he's not going to be a 4-up in anything. But I wouldn't be surprised to see him show up in lists in, like, a 1 spot. You know, just a 75th card, people are trying him out, and I could see him doing work. I mean, he's card draw, sort of, and he gives you random ability to hose certain decks in Legacy, like, you know, Mud, if that shows up.
He's got a thief, too, just flavor-wise for a thief. He's got an awful lot of gear on to be sneaking through hallways and shit, like, I don't know.
That, like, you know, he's literally been caught red-handed in the picture.
Well, yeah, but he's got this big giant coat on and all this shit. Like, dude, if you're, like, stealing art from somewhere, you are not wearing that shit. Like,
he's going to go through a window and get hung up on that coat, and it's going to be a very Benny
Hill
moment. Yeah,
I'm not buying him as a thief, but...
Well, I mean, I don't know. Like, that coat's almost a cape, and anybody who wears a cape's hard ass, so...
No. Yeah, either that or weird.
Have you ever seen Akira? My man pulled down a sheet and used it as a cape just so he could be more badass.
Oh, I'm not, true story. So I had this history class at U of I and this dude wore a fucking cape.
That's
awesome. I had this guy in the class that wore a cape like every day.
Dude, if he'd have brought a cane and a monocle, I would have made him my class president.
Yeah, honestly, the guy's got the stones to walk into a college class wearing a cape. Good on you. Awesome. Good for you. You know, it's
weird. That takes some stones. No question about it. So Justin, what you been up to lately, man?
Oh, not a whole lot, man. I, playing a lot of Magic. I just moved out to the Lancaster area from Central Jersey. So I found a couple of nice shops out here. Play draft on Tuesdays. I go for standard on Fridays. Other than that, I was just at GP Richmond a couple weeks ago. That was pretty awesome. Gigantic tournament. Got to hang out with Chewy. That was pretty cool too.
Yeah, Chewy's a good dude. Did you show up for Philly or did I completely?
I did not show up for Philly. I tried to show up on Sunday, but you were a corpse on Sunday.
So pretty much. I'm sorry, dude. Like I really had plans on being alive Sunday. I didn't meet a lot of people who I meant to, but it happened.
No big deal. Honestly, I got stuck in like 2.5 hours of traffic on the Jersey Turnpike anyway. So by the time I got down to the Philly exit, I really had no urge to go to Philly anyway.
I can see your point there, but you know, I did feel bad about it. Like I was sitting in the car looking at my phone going, oh fuck, Justin's been sitting in traffic and I feel bad that I'm not there to at least say hello to him. Like, god damn it. Oh,
seriously, dude, at that point, the last thing I wanted to do was to drive into a city. I just wanted to go home and go to bed.
Just get to Lancaster. Get to Lancaster.
Yep.
Oh, Lancaster. Yep. Amish people, kind of like around here, we have those. And those are always good folks. How long have you been there?
I've been here now, about a little over 2 months. I moved out here with, my best friend and his wife, just sort of in the process of restarting my life. And much like I've alluded to, on Facebook posts and with the letter I sent you guys for the anniversary episode.
Where I got my Twitter name.
Yes, indeed. Like I said, my life's been all kinds of crazy in the last 7-8 months, but I want to take the time to thank you guys because you've been a huge help just having, you know, a friend I can talk to and listen to every week. Like, you know, I don't talk to Ryan all that often, but much like anyone who listens to podcasts for a long period of time, you feel like the people on the other line of the mic are your friends and they're someone you can talk to and get away from things, you know, once a week. And with you guys, it's even more so because of the Facebook group and how much you interact. And the posse's just been a huge positive influence in my life over the last couple of months. And I can't thank you guys enough. It's been incredibly important to me.
Thank you.
Yeah, dude, I don't even have words for that. That's fucking deep.
Yeah, I do know what you're saying. I mean, I listen to a fair amount of podcasts, you know, not necessarily Magic podcasts anymore, but it's kind of weird. Like, you know the people who you're listening to every week. They might not know you. But you know them, and
I feel like I know the people in the posse, man. If something happened to one of y'all, I'd be devastated, dude. Like, I don't know.
Right. Ryan, it's a really tight group we have. We have great interactions. We have no problems arguing. Like we always say, it's a fucked up family. We argue. We have no problems getting at each other's face. When it comes down to it, at the end of the day, we're family. You know, we take care of her.
Exactly.
I'm glad we've been here to help, though. Don't get me wrong. I know that, you know, we've grinded some very horrible games online together and... God damn, I played horribly against you that one time. And you know.
Plenty better. I'm not running that mono blue deck anymore. So if you wanna, you know, you wanna go and play Pauper again, I'll be happy to whoop your ass with mono black this time.
See, I think that's actually what I'm on right now. So, you know.
Nice.
But one of these days we'll have to get back on there and just grind some more games. I plan on getting into standard one of these days just so I can, you know, say that I'm playing standard. Well, like, okay, Cincinnati's coming.
Man, that, you know how happy I would be if you got that into standard, bro. Like, seriously. I got a Kiora in the mail today, and I looked at it, and I was like, Angelo.
Well, the thing is, like, I have to build these decks online, right? Because that's where I do the bulk of my play. And then on top of that, I have to, you know, the reason I would be playing standard online is so I could go to larger events like SCGs and things like that. That would be the only reason I would really get into it. I can't see me going to FNMs to play standard, to be real honest. I just don't feel like I'm going to get what I need out of the format going to an FNM playing standard and playing against, you know, maybe two good decks and then, you know, two just completely off the wall, I threw this together tonight type decks. I don't feel I'm going to get the, the learning experience I need. So I'm going to be playing these online, and then I have to buy the exact same cards in real life. And it's kind of like the owning of two collections thing, and that's the whole reason I switched to online was because I just wanted one.
Yeah, but Angelo,
We could always play over Skype. We could
play over Skype. Plus, you have the benefit of having the posse. And I know most of us, if you were going to a big event, would have no problem sending you cards. Because, you know, we hear you every week. We know if you're going to jip us.
Yeah.
Which is a yes, no.
Exactly.
No,
we can all show up in Pittsburgh and just...
Bro, I would overnight you a deck.
I'm sure you would, and to be real honest, the last time I did decide to play Standard, which was on a whim, when me and Will went down to Cincinnati, which actually there's another Cincinnati coming soon, and the thought has popped into my head again. But, you know, I built the deck the night before I left, just driving over to a local card shop and going, okay, I need cards, all of you give them to me. And I was able to grind together a deck, and, you know, that's really cool, and I'm sure I could do that, but the thing is, I still have to get in all the practice online and everything else, and... When I'm online, I'd rather just draft packs.
No, I get that, man. But if you do want to put together a deck, look at Block. You know, rotation's coming up in a couple of months. If you find, like, the junk deck that you really like in Block, play Block for a little while. You know, you're going to get the cards fairly cheaper because you're going to get them before the big surge for Standard in some cases. And you're going to have practice with that kind of shell once it comes time for a rotation and that deck becomes more popular in Standard.
All right. Fair enough. Cool. But up to anything else, man?
Not a whole lot. I'm looking for work, but that's kind of a endless thing since my store closed.
Lancaster area people, hire this man. He's a good dude.
I got quite a few prospects going on right now, so I'm that's in a pretty cool. good spot.
That's cool. Good to hear.
Happy to play a lot of Magic and keep my hobby going.
Sweet. Ryan, what you been up to, brah?
Fuck, man. Magic shit. Trying to get a schedule set. Speaking of, you just mentioned Cincinnati. I'm putting a calendar together now. You're talking about the May 3rd?
Yeah.
May 4th weekend. How far is Cincy from you?
It's about four and a half hour drive.
Same here, man. Dude, if you were making that,
You told me this last time and you didn't show up, so.
That might be a meetup, though. That could be possible. I do have, several SCGs coming up though, and Indian stuff, and then St. Louis, and then another in Indy, and then there's fucking, some, what are those, 5Ks, TCG player, or whatever.
Yeah.
So, gonna hit up some of those. Been testing out some Mono Black Aggro with some of the new cards, proxying up some of the new stuff, seeing how that feels.
That's a deck I'm really excited for going forward.
Yeah, the 12-1 drops is going to really help out a lot. Brutal. I think it's got a lot of tools going forward for sure. I've been playing, though, this week a lot of Red-White Urn just because, I don't know, it's a fun deck. So still losing a bunch with it. I fucking... Megan's Hexproof deck drives me crazy. I don't... It's just one of those annoying things. So, yeah.
That helps a lot against Hexproof.
Yeah, I just... Fuck, man. I hate to run blue-white. It's just not... Also, I mean, I like blue-white. I like the idea of it. I'm just... I'm a realist, I guess. And I'm not one of those people that's like, yeah, I could pick up blue-white and kick ass with it because I don't... That's a fucking lie. Like, I'm just not... Maybe after another year or so of playing, that's the kind of deck I might gravitate towards and be a bit.
Honestly, you know, it might never be the type of deck you gravitate towards just because you might not like that style of control.
Yeah, I mean, I like green white and I like junk is probably, as far as shards go, junk is probably hands down my favorite. I'm just not, I wish we had control magic like we used to in the counter spells and stuff. Like those don't bother me as a player that doesn't even like blue. I think it makes
probably
the game
have a difference against it if you ever played against like Ben Wiseman era the deck control, but there's you fell into camps at that point. You either fell in love with control and played it for the rest of your life, or decided you hated control forever.
Yeah, I just haven't really made my mind up on it. Like I throw together blue white now and again, and I've actually have taken down a couple FNMs running it. I'd never stick to it for very long, and I feel like that's a problem. I feel like if you're gonna play that deck, it's one you gotta know inside and out. You gotta know your matchups inside and out. I think if I were to play control, I might hedge on Esper right now, just cause in the control Mir, especially if I were to play the next week after Blue White made such a comeback. I think Esper is going to be the control deck next week. It's just how standard works, but,
sort of, or you'll see that swing to red, white, burn and mono red.
Yeah. Yeah. What we expected initially anyways. I guess when I'm a little more comfortable with my play skill, I might try something out like that. But yeah, Supreme Verdict's just not my bag right now, I guess. So, but yeah, went to Chicago this weekend, Easter weekend and Megan's mom's birthday. That was fun. I did the dorkiest thing in my life. I said I would never ever ride a Segway, and I rode a Segway.
They're awesome, aren't they?
It was interesting, man. It was fun. So apparently the city of Chicago only lets these tour groups go up to like 8 miles an hour. So
you were on a Segway tour? Like a group of people
riding? There was like 15 of us went out. We had to watch a video, and then the instructors made sure each of us knew what we were doing on a Segway. And then we went on like a 2-hour tour around like Grant Park, Shedd Aquarium, the, you know, Field Museum, stuff like that. It was fun. Got to ride around the park a bit. My handlebar kept going down. I'm like 6'4", so they had to adjust the handlebar for me. And so the instructor trades my Segway with his, and he had his set. I guess they go like 25 miles an hour, and he didn't set the control before I got on it. And I got on it and leaned forward, and it just like took off, and I almost fell on my ass, like, because it was just like 3 times faster than what I was getting used to. And so that was kind of a laugh, and then the dude had to fix it and shit. But yeah, it was cool. Rode around Soldier Field and stuff. I don't know. I just was like, a Segway is like the dorkiest thing you could step on, but I ended up cracking a smile. So whatever. It was cool, man. Stayed at, the Burnham downtown, which was nice on Saturday. I think I posted some food porn.
Yes. I was going to bring that up. What was you dining on?
So we went to this place called the Atwood, right? Which maybe had the most pretentious menu I've ever seen in my life. Like, it was all like foie gras and like stuff covered in duck fat and like just weird. I had some weird soup, like fennel soup. It was fucking gross. It was like $13 appetizer. I don't know, dude. And the menu had like 13 items on it. And, I went with the pork shank because it sounded like about the only thing I could, pork was like the only thing I recognized on the menu.
How was it?
And it came with some barbecue red beans, which the red beans were fucking awesome, dude. I had no idea. I need to figure out how that's done. They're like barbecued, and they had this like fucking sauce. It was phenomenal. The beans were fucking excellent. The pork shank, I had no idea what it was, right? So I'm eating off the bone or whatever, and it's melting your mouth delicious, dude. It was well worth
it. The shank of a pig is so good.
So I'm like, what is this on the end of it, right? I'm like, it's like this black thing, and I like kind of pick it up and turn it, and it's the fucking hoof, man.
Yep.
Dude, what the fuck? Like, I almost lost my appetite entirely. Like, I started,
you should have pickled that motherfucker. Let me tell you, some pickled pig's feet is off the chain. Just suck on it, some bitches.
Fucking disturbing, bro. And then I got back into my like vegetarian shit, like, oh my god, what the fuck am I eating? Like, this is a fucking pig's foot. And they made it look all fancy and good and had like a design on the plate with like the sauce and shit and the, you know, the stuff on it, and looked badass, man. Like,
you said it yourself, it was melting your mouth delicious. You just had to get over that one hurdle, man.
Yeah, Ryan, you can't be a meat eater and not accept the fact that you are eating animals. Like, at some point you have to come to that cognitive break where you're like, yep, this is an animal, and I'm okay with that because it's delicious.
I don't eat much meat, and I don't eat pork. Like, I haven't eaten pork in like years, and then recently, like, I started eating pork again, like trying like small bits or whatever, and fucking Angelo, man, just got me on bacon and all kinds of shit.
Dude,
like,
is bacon not like the greatest thing ever created by man?
It's pretty fucking good, and I need to get off this. I need to get back to,
No, man, no, look, you're earning your man card in my eyes. Don't ruin it now.
Hard, man. It's hard to do, man. It's hard to do. Like, pigs are like, Just, yeah, man, they're too intelligent for me, man. Like,
it's just so delicious.
Think of it this way. Pigs are miserable animals, and they will eat their own kind. So you should have no moral quandary about eating them.
And they will.
That's true. Actually, I own the South Park DVDs, and I want to say season 3 or 4, at the beginning of every episode, they're doing like, Trey Stone and Matt Parker, before they start the episode, they're doing this like mock kitchen cooking show, and it's called Making Bacon with Macon, and Macon is their pet pig, and they just like make bacon sandwiches and blend up bacon in a blender and shit and feed it to the pig.
Yeah, the pig will also eat you.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I mean, so you just gotta look at it that way, like, you know, better you take it in than it take you in.
That's true. So yeah, I mean, the food was delicious. In spite of how pretentious it was, my entree was actually good. Megan liked whatever grain, vegan, weird shit she got.
Okay, I need to ask this question. Okay, because you're obviously not vegan, you're a vegetarian. Because vegetarians can cheat.
Yeah.
Vegans just cannot. So yeah. Is she a vegan?
Yeah, she doesn't eat like dairy.
No fish, nothing.
Meat, like if it had a pulse kind of thing. I guess more or less like once in a blue moon, she'll try some stuff, or she'll have like the other night she had some loaded baked potato soup and had some cheese in it, but she got it minus the bacon.
Oh my.
Of course I got the bacon on top of mine, which.
Thank you. I'm just to show you the complete opposite. Okay. I'm driving a 5-ton truck down the road today, and a turkey decided it was going to cross in front of the street in front of me. I sped
a turkey.
Yeah. Yeah, we have wild turkeys roaming around out here, okay? I sped up to try and hit that sumbitch, because that was going to be dinner tonight. I missed it.
Too far. Fucking roadkill, bro. Come on.
Dude, if it's fresh, it's good.
It's not like it's laying there.
You know? I mean,
it's like you hit it with a really big bullet.
Yeah, that's all. It's pre-tenderized, too.
Oh, man.
Dude, like, I'm sitting there, I'm just like, dude, it looked like probably like a 28-pound Jake, which once you defeather it and everything else and, you know, chop off the parts that you're not actually going to eat, you know, pull out the middles and what have you, it's going to get down to like an 18-pound turkey. But, dude, that's a nice free meal.
Yeah, couldn't do it.
Oh, dude, I'd have been sitting on the side of the road with my boss in the truck watching me fucking pull feathers out of that sumbitch.
I'll tell you, the other night, braked for a rabbit.
I braked for a rabbit yesterday.
Yeah, there's a difference, though. Rabbits are cute, turkeys are hideous.
Well, no, it's just
a lot easier to get over that hurdle.
If you hit a rabbit with a vehicle, you're probably not going to have much meat left when you're done.
Well, yeah, at that point,
and they're a real bitch to clean up.
So. Yeah, rabbit's gonna be spread all over the place. Gross.
But rabbit tastes very good.
Rabbit's fantastic.
You can't eat too much of it though. If you make that your main diet because there's such little fat to it, you can actually get protein poisoned.
On Pit M podcast, Roadkill Cafe with the Pit M's. I can't believe this is where we've gone. No.
What do you want from us?
No, haven't been up to much. That's been about it and living life, so.
Sounds good. Sounds good. Okay, so, like, nothing much, really. Like, I don't celebrate Easter. It's a personal choice. I will not knock anyone else who does celebrate.
Whoa. You don't celebrate sex and fertility?
No, I don't celebrate Easter. I will leave my personal beliefs on why I don't celebrate Easter to myself, because I don't want to offend nobody.
That's okay.
I'll be more than happy to explain it to you off air, but you know what? Those are my beliefs, and other people have their own beliefs, so I'm not going to try and ruin their beliefs.
Yeah, I got you, dude. I celebrated sex and fertility all day. So,
like, all we had was like pizza for dinner that night. So, you know, yay, that was great. Aside from that, like, I've been working a lot. I've been kind of using work as an escape from very personal things going on in my life. And yeah, I've been putting in more hours than a human being possibly should. I've also been very busy lining things up with people to do recordings on, you know, like Ince Prison, which is coming, folks. I swear to God. I have one person on this show who's supposed to have done it for a month now. And I can't seem to get him on the mic except on Tuesday nights.
Are you talking about me?
No.
It's a deep analytical show where me and Angelo talk about food recipes probably for an hour and a half.
Yes, of roadkill at the cafe.
Yeah. Roadkill foie gras. Yeah.
Ooh. Roadkill escargot, not so good.
No.
Yeah. What's funny though, speaking of back on foie gras, it's illegal in Illinois, right? No one's enforced the law, I guess, in the history of the law or whatever, which was passed like 2006 or something. Only one guy, supposedly, has been fined for it. And it was a $250 fine, and it was like a hot dog vendor. He was putting, like, foie gras on top of a hot dog somehow.
That's not bad, man.
So.
But, yeah. Of course, you expect me to say that, right? I'm also somebody who is all down for trying hummus, oh Christ, what is that one that's completely illegal in this country because it looks like a penis? It's Irish meat.
Haggis. It's a pig stomach stuffed with
haggis. It's the
and
Scottish.
That's Scottish. That's Scottish, not Irish.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know what? They care. I don't. But yeah, haggis. I'm all down for trying that. But aside from like you know just work and everything, I've actually been living a very quiet life. Just hanging out with the wife more than anything.
Nothing wrong with that, man.
Nope, there absolutely ain't. So I'm going to go ahead and move to shout-outs. Let me first give the first one to Brian Ruckus, also known as – or Brian, sorry, also known as The Ruckus on Twitter. My man made it to the finals of a TCG 5K.
Sweet.
He was on the whole he was on Twitch the other day, and I got to watch the poor man, you know, lose to the explosiveness of Storm. Which was kind of sad, but you know, congrats to him for making it there. Like, you know, big ups to you. Shout out to, Magic the Doc on Twitter. It's a new Twitter thing. Is these guys, they're actually putting together a documentary on Magic the Gathering and, you know, follow them. They want to hear stories so they can put things out there. And I don't know, maybe they'll make a decent movie. Maybe they won't. But I think people should know about it. Also shout out to Alt Slick and Time Elemental, who is recording their first episode of a new podcast tonight, and I'm looking forward to hearing this.
Wait, who is this?
Slick, Jason Alt, and Time Elemental. JR.
I don't know who Time Elemental is, but the other two I do.
Yeah, he's cool, dude. JR's cool shit. He was at the party where I got blackout. but yeah, they're actually working on their first episode tonight. I'm looking forward to seeing what it is. They haven't even really come up with a name yet. I told them to go with Corset. I like that as a name, but you know, who knows. Also, I need to give a shout out to, Jamie Peach, new member of the posse. The reason he wasn't earlier is because we haven't done the, duty that we typically used to do, where we explain how to find the Pit Ends posse on every episode, where what you need to do is you're going to go into your search bar on Facebook and you're going to type in Pit Ends podcast. And a group's gonna pop up. And when that group pops up, you ask for an invite. And then I let you into the group. It's that easy.
Or me, or Will, or
somebody. Somebody is gonna let you into this group. But we've been announcing that.
He might let you in.
Yeah, somebody will. But he sends me a tweet and goes, you know, we were talking about some other stuff. And he's like, by the way, how the hell do I join the posse? And I'm like, oh, do you have Facebook? He's like, yes, yes. And I'm like, okay, what you need to do? And I explained it to him. And then, you know, I put him right in that night. So, you know, like, oops, but thank you for reminding us that we don't do that like we used to.
Sorry.
We should. See what happens when we lose a host. Things, you know, go awry. Also, I need to give a huge shout out to Pit Scorpion because this is Autism Awareness Month and he sent me an article about an autistic child who plays Magic and when he is playing Magic, he's like a normal person.
Yeah, the article's fantastic. You should definitely go check it out.
Yes, everyone go on to pitimpspodcast.com and read this article. I have not really pimped a lot of the articles we do have on there because it's kind of like an in-house thing that I'm keeping right now. And until I get the site really where I want it to be, I haven't really forced it forward. But this article is a must read for anybody with a heart. And I mean that. So go read this article. Thank you, Pit Scorpion, for sending this to me. Thank you. Aside from that, I don't have any. Oh, wait. Shout out to Buttercup. Moving on. Ryan, got any shout outs?
Yeah, shout out to posse member Joe Fiorini.
And Justin.
Justin, obviously, of course, for being on here. Fuck, man, I'll get there. Damn.
Well, I missed it, and I felt stupid for missing it.
I got your back, bro. I got your back.
Cool.
Joe Fiorini has been very active on the page. And, dude, I need to get back with you. You posted your list, your black aggro deck. I got to get mine back to you, and we got to talk. Yeah, definitely, been fun, working on some of that stuff with you. Guys are great. Who was it that, just added, Adam Keener, shout out to you for your article on the site, and,
that would be that's his real name.
Yeah, let's, give a shout out to, Let's give a shout out to, our boy Landon, the one in the article he talks about. The kid's name's Landon. So, I want to give a shout out to Landon and the kid in that article. So I don't know if he listens or what, but,
he should now that he's getting shout outs.
Yeah. Fuck yeah, Landon. And
now you're swearing at a 12-year-old. Way to go, Ryan. Keeping it classy.
Keeping it classy. Just for the fucking kids. But shout out Joe, shout out Landon, shout out you coming on there, Justin. Shout out Justin for, your Twitter and stuff like that. I say the nay. You need to get on there and follow his ass. Shout out to the rest of the posse, of course, and all the new members. 4 new members in like the last couple days. So, Jamie Peach, Christopher Lancey, Josh Duvall, Josh Holen. What up? What up? Welcome to this fucked up family, y'all.
Justin, you got any shout outs, brother?
Just a few. Shout out to Joe Lissette. Joe's been tearing up SCG, and I watch him pretty much every night during the week on his Twitch TV. It's Oarsman79.
What is it?
Oarsman79. OARSMAN79 on Twitch. And he does Miracles and Blue Black Tesseract. Pretty much every night he'll do the daily, and the community there is really good. He's really good at talking through plays. I've learned a huge amount about Legacy just from watching him, and the guy's 4th on the SCG Players Championship board right now, and just put up another.
He seems to be in the top 16 of every SCG we cover. He was
in the top 8 of most of them.
Yeah, he's top 8 recently, quite a few. He did well at the Invitational with a top 16. He just top 16 this weekend, last weekend. Yeah, dude's on a tear.
Yeah, really nice guy. Anyone who's interested in Legacy should definitely go check out his stream.
I'll check that out myself.
Yeah, man, it's good times. Other than that, shout out to Angelo and Ryan for having me on. It's been a blast, guys. This whole experiment where you've brought members of the posse on has been incredible. It's really nice to get to hear from people in the posse, and it's just a sweet thing to do for your fans. It shows a lot of caring. And shout out to the rest of the posse.
Thanks a lot, man. It's a blessing to have you guys.
Boy, is it ever. I mean, just having a few faces that I can converse with that just lets me know that doing this every week is worth it. Trust me. Boy, is it a blessing to have you.
We'll keep being your minions as long as you keep putting out good stuff. So.
Oh, see, now you gotta go and put fucking caveats on stuff. God damn it.
Yeah, good is a stretch.
Yeah, well, we really
know. How about consistent? How about consistent stuff?
We can settle on consistent.
Because I can do that. I can sit here every week and just ramble. That's not a problem.
You know, if it's 2.5 hours of Ryan farting on a snare drum, we're not really going to be that interested. But as long as you keep at least
marching. Wait. Ryan farting on a snare drum? That sounds amazing.
Well, he can throw that on with his political commentary podcast that you put together for him.
With Batman sound effects. Yep.
Do I need to pull up the Batman sound?
No, shut up. Leave it be.
Why don't you like my Batman sound effects?
No, look, man. Okay, the one sound effect that you put in the show the one night was perfect. I'm not gonna lie, but a lot of times sound effects, it's the word I'm looking for. Make things campy. A little cheesy, even. You know, like a bad, morning radio. I'm just like,
I thought I was onto something.
Nope. But if you want that to be your thing, I'm not going to completely stop you. I left him in. I mean, that says something for it, right? I didn't cut him.
It means you don't want to edit.
Shut up. I do a lot of editing.
I don't blame you. I wouldn't want to edit, but I'm just saying that's probably the larger overarching reason.
No, the one spot was perfect when I was like, until next week, and he was like, next week, is Batman going to get away? I was like, oh my God.
Timing and brevity.
So let me see. Everyone got in shout outs, right?
Yes.
Okay. Justin, do you have any contact info that you would like to throw out there for people to get a hold of you if they would so choose?
Sure. I say the nay on Twitter. I don't tweet a lot anymore, but I probably will do more in the future. You can contact me on the Facebook group, of course. And if you're on MTGO, my name is Montevale.
Which every time I look at it, I go, who the fuck is that? Oh yeah, that's Justin. I have the same team.
Sorry.
Why did I bring it up? Oh, man. Okay. Ryan, contact info.
Of course, @BrotherRyan on the Twitterverse. And, of course, the Facebook page, the posse, always get at us there. Any love questions, any relationship advice you may need, please do post it there. We don't have enough of that. Megan would love to answer your questions.
Wait. We don't have enough of that? We don't have any of that.
Yeah.
Well, actually, understand, we don't have you got guys that look like me and Hakan on the Facebook page. Obviously, love questions. We got those.
Wait a second. Yeah. I would feel perfectly fine asking Hakan love questions.
That was my whole point. Dudes as handsome as us don't really need advice.
That's true. No, for sure.
Sheer dead sexiness of the posse means we don't need love advice.
That is true. Very true. Bunch of good looking, swag filled gentlemen. We also, if you have anal sex questions, want to know anything about that, get it Sid Meister, on the Facebook page. He is the official posse, go-to, anal sex expert, I guess.
Hey, whoa.
Go hit him up.
Whoa. Don't just be handing that title out while I'm still around, bro.
I'm giving it to Meister. I'm giving it to Sid.
Dude, let me tell you, I used to buy that stuff, that lube by the gallon, okay?
Or hit up and whatever floats your boat. Get at us. Get on the posse page because that's what's up.
Buy it by the gallon. Thank you, Adam and Eve.
You're disgusting.
You'd love it. If you needed to get a hold of me, you can get a hold of me at Gonksville on Twitter and on NTGO. You can also find me on the Facebook page because I am there as well as Gonksville Imp. And you can also get a hold of me a little long form at pitimppodcast@gmail.com. That has no S at the imps. It's just pitimp. And pretty much those are the best ways to get a hold of me. I'm also writing stuff again once in a while. I did just put an article up on Bro Deals last week. If you listen to the podcast, you don't really need to read it, but go look at it. Give me some numbers. I'd appreciate it.
I read it.
Good for you.
I heard it twice.
Also, I do want to bring up again the art contest. The art contest is still going. I'm still wanting more submissions. Please send them to me. At pitimpodcast@gmail.com. Again, you know, $100 prize if you come up with our logo. Cutoff date is June 2nd or June 1st or something like that. And beginning of June, we'll just go with that. And you can send me up the 3 entries and I will accept them all. So please send them to me.
We've had some decent ones. We also got a winner of our, Pitimps, the Posse Facebook challenge, when we hit the 100, or whatever. We got a winner of that. I'll just announce that next week.
Okay.
I know I already told you who it was last week, so.
Did you? You said last week, so I don't know.
No. Before we recorded, I told you who won.
Oh, okay.
I thought you would find it hilarious.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Next week, when I put up the show notes, make a note about it in the show notes so we don't forget.
Yeah, because that's what's been happening. I've just been fucking stoned. So
yeah, seems like fun. Next week, no big tournaments really, but we do have pre-releases to talk.
Pre-release, yes.
You going this time?
I'm gonna do multiple pre-releases. I'm making up for last time. I'm doing multiple pre-releases. I'm really excited about this set. I still feel like
it's realize you're still playing the other two as well, right?
Well, I still feel like this one's gonna be very Voltron-y. I still think it's gonna be a lot of the same, but I feel like this set kind of rounds out a lot of things, and I think this set really kind of I don't know. It opens things up a bit. Like we mentioned earlier in the show, I think we're going to see some limited strategies finally, come about that we haven't really seen much of. I'm looking forward to this. I'm going to draft and do sealed multiple times over pre-release weekend probably. So
cool. I know our guest for next week, is already pre-registered for a pre-release and I am going to do my best to get to one this weekend. It really depends on what time I get off work Saturday.
Yeah, I'm gonna hit up a midnight one after F&M on Friday.
Yeah, see, I gotta start work I gotta get up for work at 5 a.m., so I can't hit a midnight one. So I'm hoping to catch, a late day Saturday one, which I know where there's a place I can do that at, but that requires me getting off of work by 5 p.m. Yes, I know that's 12 hours. Yes, that's how I work.
Well, being a gentleman of leisure has its upsides and its downsides. The upside is that I can go to any pre-release I want. The downside is I can't afford to go to every pre-release I want.
Yeah, see, I have the other thing. You know, I work so much that, like, I can afford to go to any pre-release I want, but the thing is, do I have the time to do it because I'm working so much?
I've been there too, Angelo, so I hear you.
But I work and I have a sugar mama, so it kind of works out me, so.
Yes, yes. Not a bacon mama, as we've learned, but a sugar mama. Why? Because it comes from a land.
Yep.
Love you, Megan. but guys, until next week.
My record's been clean for months. I'm no longer even asking you.
Fuck yeah, Scandinavia.
Fuck. Have a good one, guys. Go fuck yourself.